Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
You didn't call Daniel. Why do you call a guy who will give you an answer? We don't want the answer sometimes. I don't want the answer. Now he's finally getting down there and humbling himself, at least as far as he can. He's going to be upbraided for his inability and unwillingness to humble himself. So he's asking a question he doesn't want to ask to the person he doesn't want to talk to, it would seem. And the Bible says, can you give the interpretation? Can you dissolve the doubts? He says, if you do it, he says, you will be third in the kingdom. Verse 17 says, I will read and I will make known all of these things for you, but you can give those accoutrements to somebody else. Verse 18, O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Again, remember, Nebuchadnezzar is the touchstone person for the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. So God gave this man everything he had. He gave him the glory, the honor, the majesty he gave to him. He gave him all the people, all the nations. He slew who he wanted to slay, and he kept alive whom he wanted to keep alive. Verse 20, it says, but when his heart was lifted up, his mind hardened in pride, and he was deposed. Talk about a deposition. Well, this is life, okay? This is not just a courtroom. This is on the stage of life. This man was deposed. He was put in a field for 7 years. He lost his mind. He was humiliated. Why didn't God just knock him off and put him out of the way? Because God would have his glory be able to shine through this man. So he constantly was chasing him. He wouldn't bend, man. He wouldn't bend. But finally he did. And he made the edict of chapter 4 that Yahweh is the God of gods. He was deposed from his earthly throne. And he was made like the beasts in verse 21. Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. So he's telling them, you think you got this? You got a picket fence and 3 cars and 4-car garage, and you've got a shop and you've got a pool and you've got all the accoutrements of life. See, this is America. We're rich. I mean, they would envy us. I mean, that stuff they had. I mean, I'd love to go see it. You know, I don't know. But I know what we got now. We got ice cream year round. We got ice cream all the time. You say, well, about supply lines. We're still doing pretty good on the ice cream. But my point is obvious, right? We got a date. You got air conditioning with a touch of a button. You don't have to deal with people and servants. You don't have to have that problem. Think of the problems, the headaches just being a king would be. Didn't have all that. We've got it all, man. We've got a name. We've got a car that'll go faster than it should. And we all know it. Okay, so we know it. We are blessed. We are rich. We are raised up. But God will bring upon this earth something so hideous, it'll be like living in hell on earth. And it won't be long from now. He's bringing it. He's telegraphing. He's saying, run for the ark. It's going to rain. He says he lifts up one. He points over it, whomsoever he will. And in verse 22, it says, and thou, Belshazzar, you've not humbled your heart. Though thou knewest all of this. You knew about your grandfather. You knew what God did to him and with him and through him. You knew and you did not humble. That's why he went for the implements of the temple. Because he knew it all. And he was dancing on it. He was mistreating it. Right now we have leaders in our country that want to shut down churches, want to fine pastors, want them to send in their messages in case they said something about homosexuality. We've got people in our generation right now in places of power. Not all, obviously, but we've got people who do this. They're saying to judges that believe in a true and holy God that they need to get their Ten Commandments out of their courtroom or whatever. They're telling judges that they have to solemnize these weddings between two of the same gender, even though it's against their conscience. And what they're doing is they are treating the best and the brightest of our generation with disdain. This is where we're living. We're being told in the military the boys and girls have to make way for those who think they are a girl when they're indeed a boy. We're laughing stock in our world. Do you know in China right now they've removed all of the
men
who would be feminine in their demeanor because they want to project to their country manly men. In America, we're doing the exact opposite. You listen to the radio, you hear a soft male voice. This is weird. Isn't it weird? Because the world's projecting it on us. We're wondering. No, he was a man who knew all this. He says, you knew all of this. And what you did with what you knew, he says, you were lifted up against the Lord of heaven. You brought the vessels. He didn't want to hear this. He did not want to hear this. Do you want to hear that this world right now is a mess because of the immorality in it? Do you know it's hard to point at another immoral person if you're immoral yourself, so you just let everything go? This is what happens. It's a great leveler. Get this person messed up in some thicket, and he can't point at somebody else who's messed up in the thicket. And so what we're looking at is a world that is on its ear. And we don't want to hear it. And that's why the Bible says last days people are going to heap themselves teachers having itching ears, not willing to endure, not willing to endure sound doctrine. He says, you brought out the vessels. You gave them to your wives, your concubines. You praised the gods of gold and stone and wood. He says, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified, at the end of verse 23. How do you glorify God? By living for him. How do you glorify God? By listening to him. How do you glorify God? By obeying him. How do you glorify God? By pointing others to Jesus. That's how you glorify him. Have you glorified God? When you talk about God, do you talk about Jesus or do you talk about God generically? Because I'm telling you, there's a difference. If you don't know Jesus is the apogee of God's eye, he is the absolute apple of God's eye. He is the one before whom God has determined that every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that he is Lord. He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you want to glorify God, you point to Jesus. Even the Holy Spirit, when he speaks of Jesus. He says, this is the writing, King. He says, mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. He says, mene means numbered, and your kingdom is finished. The days of it, numbered. They're done. You're done. Is America done? I'm kind of thinking it's pretty much done, as we know it. I don't think it's going to be wiped out by a volcano. I just don't. I think what's going to happen, I think it's going to be completely changed to look like something we would never have recognized before. And that could, on the face, look pretty good. And a lot of people will sell out for it. Do you know when the devil came, he came to Jesus and he said, I will give you all the glory of all the kingdoms of all the earth. So there might be a lot of goods that are going to be doled out to people. But I think it's going to be really bad in its core. Rotten. The numbers of this kingdom, well, it's finished. Tekel. That means you've been weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. In those days, they did have gods that they believed would weigh people and so forth. And so it made sense to him. It was what he understood. He says, Perez, it means that thy kingdom is divided. It will be divided because the Medes and the Persians will share dominion over it. So it's divided in that way. But he says, it's been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And he says, then commanded Belshazzar to clothe him, because he's already freaking out. He's saying, what did he say? Did he just say that my kingdom is fallen? Did he just say that this is a terrible night for me? He says, this is all fallen. You're done. It's over. Your kingdom is gone. Well, if my kingdom is gone, that means I'm gone, because I am the kingdom. Now, the Bible says, then commanded Belshazzar to give this to him, and, you know, he had submitted to it, and it really would serve him later, because when the Medes and the Persians come, Daniel's going to be the one that's going to tutor the kings that follow Belshazzar. And it says, in that night, in verse 30, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. They had breached that aqueduct. They had come in on dry ground. They had rerouted the Euphrates. And they were in the city, even as this whole conversation was going on. It's a big city, okay? And so he's in there having a party. And you know, if you turn the music up loud enough, you won't be in your own head. So just turn it up and you won't hear about Jesus. Turn it up. You won't feel what your thoughts are thinking. You won't have your thoughts. You let the music in your thoughts. No, you need to stop everything for a minute and take an inventory. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. That's what we do. When we're early in the faith, we don't have a security. We don't know so much. We are a little nervous. We figure God's going to kick us to the curb. Life is hard. It's full of hard knocks. We're wondering what's up. The more you read, the more you realize, no, this is okay. I'm okay. The ground is good. Man, this ice is 20 foot thick. I can't fall through. And now you're dancing for Jesus. But for some people, they do not know that they're saved because they've never given their lives to Jesus. This is real down here. There is a one-world government afoot. There are people who are trying to put things in people's body who don't want it. And whatever your opinion is, they ought not be doing that. This is that. And God said it would be pharmaceuticals. And we're living in a time where people are just dancing like it's the funnest thing to get the newest device and get the newest toy and the newest gadget. Man, I go into these stores sometimes and they're coming out with 55-inch, 65-inch TVs. What are you doing? You're ramping up the noise of the world and they're telling you lies day in and day out. Oh, what a day we're living in, beloved. And people are perishing for lack of knowledge. Perishing. So as I conclude, let me just say this. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, to you who are troubled, God delivers rest with us. If you're worried about your world, God's given you the same rest that Paul had. And the Bible says He's going to give you rest with us. And He says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Not destruction. Not annihilation. Punishment. Agony. Flame. Fire. Damnation. All the words you know. Hell. Lake of fire. They're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. I saw that movie. And when the movie ended, I got to go outside and it was good. And I shook that. It got under my skin. You aren't going to shake this if you don't know Jesus. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, which in essence means from the presence of every good and perfect and wonderful and sweet thing. Right now you enjoy the common grace God allows us all. Good food, you know, nice breeze on a hot day, water to drink, all those things. That's just common grace. But that will be completely non-existent. The rich man in hell and being in torment said, can you send Lazarus to dip his finger in water that I might get a drip on my tongue and cool it because I'm tormented in this plane. It says they will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, which is an awesome thing to wait for and see. When He shall come to be glorified in the saints, that's you if you know Jesus. He's going to come and be glorified in you. They say when a marriage is taking place, don't look at the bride sometimes. Just go take a look at the groom. He's just like, whoa, whoa. That's you. If you're God's child, Jesus gets all glory, but He's looking at you. He can't wait till we can put an end to all this, but He loves. It says He comes to be admired in His saints and in all them that believe in Him because our testimony was believed among you in that day. When He comes, He's coming in power, glory. He's going to start with the rapture. He's going to get us out of the way. He's going to pour out hell on earth so people will run to Him. Even though it's going to cost them their life, they're not going to be any other way through. He's going to be martyrdom upon martyrdom upon martyrdom, and it's going to happen. A third of the human race is going to be wiped out. There's going to be all kinds of mayhem. There's going to be bombs, and there's going to be death and famine, and there's going to be sickness and anarchy and hatred and murder. But if you know Jesus, you can face tomorrow. If you know Jesus, you can rest with Paul. In that rest, I would say to you in closing, strive ye to enter into that rest. Let's bow together.
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30.
We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.